It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Praise in the world, that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
We're back here another week on the Tony Sands Show. I missed my guest last week, but people, my business takes me all around the world to where I see so many beautiful people. But tonight's show is going to be fantastic for several reasons, because the news going on in this country and around the world is exciting. So exciting that I got to bring it to you, my fans. And there are some sad things going on here in the United States. You think at some point the violence got to stop, but it continues. It continues to a standpoint to where we are killing babies. We are killing babies, folks. And at some point, the respect for human life, there is none in this society. So many people would do whatever it takes to get a cause through or a point over to someone. But it is those that are the innocent ones that get affected by this violence that takes place here in this world. But we know, and in order to combat that, people, we got to be vigilant. You got to keep your eyes open. You got to be able to see what's going on around you. You can't close a blind eye and say it don't go on, because when that one thing that you overlook is the one thing that sets off tragedy. And I'm quite sure, and it happened in Boston at the Boston Marathon. We're going to get into that a little bit today. We're also going to get into a father and son situation. A father and son situation. How do a father takes, a high profile father takes dealing with a son that is gay? How do a father such as Magic Johnson see my son and say that he's gay? We're going to get into that. We're going to get into some draft talk. We definitely got to get into some draft talk. The draft is right around the corner. I will be listening in, tuned in to this draft, because it's going to be an interesting draft. We'll be on that Wednesday night before the draft. The draft has went prime time, folks. It has went prime time. Some of my guests tonight will be Mr. Bibbs calling in from Dallas, Texas. We're going to talk Cowboy football. We're going to talk Green Bay Packers. We're going to talk $65 million man. The $65 million man in the NFL has just been introduced to with the Green Bay Packers. And then we're going to get into, how do you do a $65 million deal with the defensive player and yet you still have to sign your number one player, the number one guy, Aaron Rodgers? We're going to get into a little bit of that with Mr. Bills. I'm going to bring my main man, Conrad, on as we talk gun laws here in the United States. A lot of people did not get what they thought they were going to get when it came to the gun laws here in the United States. They thought it would be an open and shut case when it comes to these gun laws, but it didn't happen. Congress decided that we didn't need it. Congress decided that we didn't need it. So it is what it is. We will continue to go the way that the United States have been going when it comes to gun laws. And I think something's got to change, because when you put assault rifles on the street, there's got to be something done, because assault rifles are not meant to hunt with. And, you know, I've been in Kansas, so I've been in the city, and I've seen so many young men that, you know, they come with guns and, you know, they come with the shotguns in the back of the truck. You know, here in South Florida, we don't see that kind of stuff. We see, you know, you have a gun in the back of your truck. The only place you've seen that, it was in Davie, Florida, back in my young day. But that's, you know, that's that. Now, we're going to turn gears and change the way this show going, because we're going to get you up, beat, and ready to go. Bringing to the show my main man, Mr. Conrad Kelly, here to the Tony Sands Show. What's up, Conrad? How you doing, man?
All right, how you doing, man? How you doing?
Wow, man, it's some interesting thing. There's a lot of things going on here throughout the world that is not good, not so good. A lot of people, you know, we're killing babies, and I'm trying to see how do we as people kill babies. And I'm talking about the Boston bombing at the marathon. How do, and I thought about this a lot, how do one let an explosive bomb in a crock pot get that close when I'm quite sure there was security throughout the place? How do a man get in there with two explosive bombs? If there was one man, there might have been two. Right now, they're not saying what it was. They may have a suspect in this, Conrad. How do you think something like that happened at such a big event there in Boston that is known around the world? The Boston Marathon is known throughout the world as one of the biggest marathons that you want to get into.
You can't stop it. I mean, honestly, you can't stop it. You got to stop the way people are. That's the only way it's going to stop. Everything that they're trying to stop until they stop the way people are. Now, we're not talking about the guns. We're just talking about the bombs and what they went through to do it. You just got to stop the way people are. We're going to end up finding out that that was domestic.
Correct.
It was just hatred.
Correct.
You know, these type of things have been going on for years. It's just that the media is different, so it gets a lot of publicity. But until people change, it's not going to change.
Correct. Until people change, as he stated, this violence is going to continue. And some people, even when you look at down to the gun laws, they're saying changing the background is not going to change how people use guns to kill. Use guns to injure. That's not going to take it. But let's stick with the Boston bombing, because we got an audio that, you know, that we want to play for our viewers and our listeners to let them know just how horrific this bombing was take place. Fans, I want you people listen to this and give me your opinion on what you think this thing, this bomb, this human that did this, what kind of mindset do one have? My engineer is going to play it, and let's listen to it and see what we think.
We have new video coming in right now of the first explosion. This one near the finish line. Let's have a look and see what this is.
Folks, as you heard there, you can hear rescue saying that there are injured people. Can you imagine a bomb going off in one spot, you running to another spot, and all of a sudden another explosion goes off? Does this put people in the mind of 9/11? And I'm quite sure it did, because if you watch those videos that CNN put out and a lot of the other networks put out, that had to be something that you thought was close to the end of the world. Especially, I don't know if Conrad, if we put our guards down because what the United States did with Osama bin Laden. I think we kind of put our guards down, because I'm trying to figure out how do you get a crock pot with the bomb in it, with nails and things of that nature, into an area that's supposed to be highly secured. I don't know if we got so wrapped up in the sport part of it that we forgot the security part of our life. I'm quite sure in time that's going to come out. I'm sure you say, Conrad, that this is going to continue to happen. You can't stop that. You don't figure with the security that the United States have, the cameras that we have everywhere, you still don't fear that this kind of action can be stopped.
I mean, the camera's going to let us find out who did it.
Correct.
Security did let the guard down, because I don't care if you're at the airport, you at any event. If you see a bag, now when people see a bag just sitting, security is supposed to check it out.
Correct.
And what we're finding out is that everybody, a lot of people saw those bags sitting where the explosions happened. But nobody thought about it. Nobody looked at the bags. Now, you also got to remember one thing, though. This is a running event.
Correct.
I ran track, and there are always bags sitting around everywhere. So
correct.
They kind of got. I honestly think they looked at the situation. They probably watched it last year, and saw how lackadaisical the everything was, and came back to do it again. You know, they said, okay, this is how we're going to do it. This is what we want to do. Because remember, they tried to put a bag under the grandstand.
Correct.
You know,
and as I said, I think they said two bombs did not even go off.
Right.
So can you imagine if all four of those bombs went off? Because when you talk about, you know, it brings tears to my eyes when I hear that an eight-year-old child was killed in this, and his sister leg severed, and the mom has brain damage from this incident. A whole family has been affected by this. How do a dad, and you know, I would never know because I've never been in a situation, but how do a dad handles all this in one situation? You know, it's very rare that, you know, it's sad that we have one, but when we have two, that brings tragedy to this whole incident. I know he probably needs so much counseling right now because he's in question. He's sitting, you got to think about burying your son, but then you got to think about sitting by your wife and your daughter's bedside. That's got to be horrific. That's got to be horrific.
Never get over it. Never will. You got to think about it. If we have an accident, we tear up our car, we can replace our car. You can't replace a child.
And that's the thing. You can't replace that. But now you got to think two places because you're thinking about your son. You got to bury that. Bury him, but then you're by your wife's bedside, who's had, you know, severe brain trauma due to this explosion, and your daughter with her leg severed. How do this man? I'm trying to figure out that, but they did say that they have, you know, identified a person, a man wearing a white baseball cap. One of the sources added that, you know, the cap was backwards, and the man also was wearing a light colored hooded sweatshirt and black jacket, you know, and this
right,
is what.
But it was more than one for the amount of bags that they had. You know, one man didn't carry four crock pots.
Yeah, because that's going to be very suspicious. That would be very suspicious. But now the one question also is it domestic or is it international? Is it domestic or is it international? That's going to be the one question that's going to be asked. Is this domestic or is it international? How do you? And now you got to figure this all happened during the same week as they, you know, you hear some broadcasters call it Devil's Week because there was during this week in years past, there were several incidents. You got to figure the Oklahoma bombing situation happened during the same week. During the same week.
And that makes me think it's domestic.
Yeah, and so from
do it on that anniversary, it's domestic.
But now do we eliminate out? Do we say, nah, it couldn't have been international, couldn't have been retaliation from Osama bin Laden? Do we eliminate that?
You know what, honestly, I think it's not important that who it was. I think the whole thing is that it has to stop. I mean,
do we say it's not important because from a standpoint, it's got to be important because we got to find out who did it. And if it's international, we need to know that because we need to get them and ask them questions. Is there another incident? Do they have another place that they're trying to bomb? And that's why do we sit and say it's not important because where is this next location?
But if it's not domestic, to me, if it's domestic and it's somebody from this country, I'm a little bit more worried because they look just like you. It looked just like me. And I remember taking some classes about 10 years ago. So we took them with Homeland Security people. And one thing they said that after 911, they said that be aware that the next terrorist will look just like me and you.
Of course. Of course. Of course.
And what the thing is, they're recruiting within our country. And if you look at the last few years, the people that have been caught plotting terrorist acts have been normal-looking people.
Correct.
They haven't been your people from Arab, from your Arab-looking people, from Iraq or Iran. It haven't been those people. It's been normal people that grew up in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Miami. Now, remember, we had a group that grew right up in Miami.
That was plotting one. They was plotting one. And as people are saying, and they're talking about this one, they're saying they're seeing traces of international. But it also reminds them of Eric Rudolph in 1996 with the Atlanta Summer Olympics bombing. So there go your opinion, there go your view on domestic.
Yeah, but with Rudolph, they dropped the bomb on Rudolph. Rudolph had already done various other things.
Correct.
And he did that by himself. There's no way one person
brought
four bags in and dropped four bags off. I really doubt that one person did that.
No, I mean, it's crazy to say that one person did it because that person is going to seem very suspicious. But hold on, Conrad. We got also Mr. Bibbs from Dallas, Texas, here on the Tony Sands Show. Let's also bring him into this conversation. Bibbs, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Tony, how about yourself?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. Anyone that want to call in and chime in on this topic, you can call us here at 530-413-9537 or 530-513-6472. That's 530-413-9567. Or you can call us here on our toll-free number, 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Or you can Skype us at BBS Radio 2. That's BBS Radio 2. Bibbs, me and Conrad, you know, here, guys, we're bringing Bibbs and we have Mr. Conrad here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking about the Boston bombing and is it domestic or is it international? And in both cases, they're saying you can find traces of it being both because they're saying this type of bomb, they've seen in Iraq with Al-Qaeda. They have seen traces of this type of bomb when you say a crock pot. In Al-Qaeda. So, but then they're also bringing up people like Eric Rudolph in 1996 with the Atlanta Summer bombings. Have you been following this story? And give me your opinion on, do you as a person have a view on if you go out to and how you see now open sporting events? Do you see it in a different light?
I mean, it has definitely opened my eyes to, you know, something that you don't really go to sporting events thinking about them normal.
Correct.
I mean, I've been to numerous amount of sporting events, and I've never once thought in my head that I'll suffer, you know, gruesome injury due to someone senseless act of, you know, trying to, you know, harm a large amount of people by bombing a situation like that. But it's definitely going to have an impact on the sporting society as a whole. You know, I mean, it opened my eyes to something that I had never thought about. I've actually read up on the 1996 Atlanta bombing during the Olympics, and you know, that's the first thing I thought about when the news broke to me. But it's definitely sad in a sense because so many people were injured. You know, you have three people dead, and I've read up a little bit more about the suspect, but I mean, really, they don't really know too much yet. I know. I guess we're all waiting, as a whole, to see what's going to happen about that. But as far as it being international or domestic, I really don't know. I mean, it's terrible whether it's either one, you know. So I really can't even call on that. But it's definitely going to have a toll on, you know, sporting events as of now. They already were canceled the game last night. You know, I mean, I guess they're going to have to up their security doing events like this. I'm not sure, but it's going to have to be something going to have to be done about it.
And Conrad, you stated, you know, you've been at several track events and you've seen bags around. Now, do we change the way we go to track and field events to where now you cannot leave your bag just laying around? Because I've been at several track events, and as you stated, there's bags just laying around.
everywhere. Yeah. And you know, it's so hard to figure out how they're going to change that, because I'm looking at, you know, both of us have family members that still run track, young kids.
Correct.
And we're going to see bags. I mean, we're going to be at a track. I'll probably be at a track meet Saturday or go by a track meet Saturday, and I'm going to see bags everywhere. And every time I see that bag, that unattended bag, that's the first thing going to come to my mind, and it never came to my mind before. I never thought about that, and I never put this with the Olympic event.
Correct.
I never thought about what happened in the Olympics. But, you know, it's definitely going to change things. But like I said, security, I want to say security should have had their heads up. But remember, these days were in backpacks. The guy that tried to, when the guy tried to put it up under the bleachers, he had a backpack on.
Correct.
And with a hoodie. He could have looked like any other athlete or anybody that's there for a sporting event. He just would have looked normal having that. But I look at what my backpack looks like that I carry every day. It could easily look like I had something like that in it.
Correct.
And
now,
so it's,
guys, not
it's
the,
so hard.
Not the, it's not to switch gears, guys, but let me tell you something. It's a video going around on Facebook, guys, and I'm going to tell you something. I've seen some horrific videos with the fighting and all that, guys, but it's a video going around on Facebook that I'm going to tell you, it is the most horrific video. I don't believe people are posting this video. I don't know if they're posting it saying that they want to catch this guy or something else, but guys, I've never seen something like this in my life, and I didn't believe that Facebook would even allow this video to be viewed. You got a grown man, guys, on Facebook. Somebody need to do something to this guy and do something to him fast. And a little baby. And the things that this guy is doing to this little baby would bring tears to any parent's eyes. If you guys get a chance, you know, go to a guy named Eric Reese Facebook page, folks, and look at this video, because we got to bring this guy to justice. This guy need to be brought to justice. Guys, the things that is, oh, man, it is horrific. It is horrific, horrific, horrific. It reminds me of, just like we said, we got to change the mindsets of people here in the United States before we change completely. Guys, we're going to go to a commercial, then we're going to come back, and I want to get deep into the sports world. We're going to tap into a little bit of the Magic Johnson situation, get your opinion on it. And but we're heading straight to the $65 million man here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to a commercial, and I'll be right back with you here on the Tony Sands Show.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. Ladies, whether you're trying to look good for that special someone, or you're Miss Independent and you just want to look good for yourself, listen, you need to scratch where you've been going, cause Sensational is where you need to be. Where they specialize in shortcuts, weaves, sew-ins and wraps and so forth. At Sensational Beauty Salon, it's guaranteed that they'll have you looking for an appointment, call 954-786-3997. That's 954-786-3997. Located at 801 South Dixie Highway, Suite 5 in Cypress.
Commercial brought to you by Focus and Dirty B.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me.
in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G. Strange when you're raised in a dope hole. No food if you can't get your dough sold. My uncle just died and it can't be. Tell me this, who made it? I would have written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm going ball, yeah, I'm going be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm going ball, yeah, I'm going be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Stress get thick, but I won't fold. Devil hoping that I switch, but I won't go. Riding in my whip, I'm lonely. On the side of the Lord, where I'm gon' be. Swerve, but I take back control. Home time, looking back at the popo. Sharp smell blood in the blue sea. In the streets, they'll kill for a hoesie. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for them suckers that be hating on me. Straight to the top, that's for sure. Two clocks, two texts, and a fofo. Equipped for the snakes and the phonies. Even keep a close eye on the homies. These words come from my soul. My story had to be told. Let you see what I see and take you places I be. In my dreams I can fly. In the Lord I can find. Now I'm just flying high. Was made to be the light. And in my dreams I can fly. Now I'm just flying high. In the Lord I can find. Was made to be the light. It was and already written. Now I rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for the suckers that be hating on me. It was already written. Now I rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball. Yeah, I'm gon' be. Prepare for the suckers that be hating on me. And I.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. In the first half of the show, you're listening to the Tony Sands Show. I'm Tony Sands, and we have Conrad Kelly and Mr. Bibbs here on the Tony Sands Show as we talked earlier in the show about the Boston bombing. But there is another story that's hitting America, and we are trying to see. One thing about this story, it brings light on the way families view sexual orientation. It came down to the, you know, I'm quite sure a lot of people, you know about Magic Johnson in his situation with HIV. But now his son, EJ, the third, has came out the closet and say that he is, gay at this point in time. His sexual orientation is gay. And a lot of people wonder, why is this sports? I guess because his dad is such a high, one of the best basketball players to me that ever played a game. And one of the best businessmen to transcend from sports to business. Guys, I have both you guys on. Conrad, you have a son and I have a son. And we, in our time, were high profile athletes. How do you view if your son come up and tell you, you know, dad, hey, I'm gay. How do you take a situation? How do you handle that?
Tony, I still don't know how I would handle it. With my son, and it's so funny, with my son, I don't know how I would handle it. I couldn't imagine. I don't even know how to address that. But remember now, I have a daughter.
Correct.
That is gay.
Okay, now.
And
what was
you just have to, you accept, you have to love them.
Correct. And that's what Magic said.
It might not be the path that you wanted them to take.
Correct.
It might not be what you wanted from them, but you love them.
But now you said one thing. You said, now listen to what you said now, and a lot of people will say, you know, is it a double standard? You said you don't know how you're going to take it with your son.
I wouldn't have known how I would handle it.
But you said your daughter.
It wasn't easy.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm going to tell you, it was not easy.
Bibbs, chime in on that. Let's chime in on this topic now. You can also chime in on this topic.
I accepted it before her mother accepted it.
Okay.
And it took me a while to accept it. And I mean, I'm not saying I did everything right, but I remember her being in high school, and I explained to her, you're going to be a little girl until you turn 18 and you graduate.
Correct. Now, you told her she was going to be a little girl.
I got other kids to raise in my house. She gave me, and we love each other to this day.
Correct. And, you know, I know her, and I love her to death because she is a sweet young lady. Mm-hmm. But you said one thing. You're going to be a young lady until you turn 18.
That's right.
Give me what you mean by that. Give me the gist of what you mean by that when you say you're going to be a young lady until you're 18. Well, if I'm not a young lady and I don't carry those characteristics of a young lady, how am I going to be a young lady?
Her mother could, just like I said, I couldn't handle my son. Her mother was not handling it at all.
Correct.
And
we had to
come to an agreement. This is what you are, okay? When you become 18,
mm-hmm.
this is what you can do. You're an adult. You're grown. You can do what you do. But when you're in this house, you would not walk around with your... And I guess in the girls' cases,
they call them studs now. Let's call them. They do call them studs now. Nowadays, right. They call them studs. They don't call them.
When they're to the,
you know,
when they're to the extreme,
they call them studs.
And my daughter was to the extreme at first. Like,
okay.
I look at her now, and she doesn't dress the way she first came, decided she wanted to be there, and the way she wanted to dress.
Right.
So she dresses normal. She dresses just like a normal girl does now. But when she first came out, she wanted to look like a boy so bad.
Now, at what age did you guys start recognizing that, you know, maybe she's not doing some of the girly things that normal girls do? At what age did you guys start recognizing that, you know, she may not?
I didn't pay no attention until she said it. She played sports just like everybody else in my house played sports. I mean, her sister played sports.
But can you go back now and say, okay, I reckon now I seen, okay, I, now I seen this, I seen that, now I seen that. Okay, now those were my clues, but I overlooked them.
You know what, Tony? It was like one week she was...
girly girl.
She was talking to boys, and then the next week she was talking to girls. It was just like that. And it was just... You got to love your child.
And that's what Magic said. Because Magic said, you know, guys, he said he recognized it early. I think he recognized it when EJ was around 13 or 14. The mom approached EJ with it when he was around 13 or 14. And then I think a little bit later, Magic approached him. But now do we say, okay, Magic, you can't react crazy to this because how your family, Bibbs, how his family embraced him when he announced that he was HIV. Do you think that had a little bit also to do with the way that he handled this situation, Bibbs?
I think Magic was able to handle it better because of that. But one thing we don't know is what went on in that house. Because I'm quite sure when that young man was born, and with Magic being in the league when that young man was born, the first thing in his mind was, oh, he's going to be a basketball player. I can't wait to teach him basketball. I can't wait for him to do this. I can't wait for him to do that. And, you know, for the next thing, he's doing what he does, you know?
Right. Let's let Bibbs chime in on that. Bibbs, give me your opinion on that, on this whole situation.
Well, I did my research on the story, and I got an opportunity to watch Magic Johnson's son, which his name is D-Day, if I'm not mistaken. I got to watch an interview of his. I also did some reading on it, and he actually came out to his mother
Correct.
About 5 or 6 years ago. You know, I think he said he was maybe 14 years old when he came out, and then he later came out to his father. But, you know, the circumstances that, I mean, that their family's been through, you know, with their father and the HIV, the HIV situation. Correct. Or whatever, I really think that might have helped, you know, Magic, you know, deal come to the realization or understand, become more understanding of what his son was going through. Because in the gay community or the homosexual community, as people would like to say, they still feel like they're looked upon as, you know, outsiders, people on the outside looking in, you know, and that's the same thing you have to deal with someone with HIV. They're not very, you know, I don't know too many people that, you know, very open about, you know, having HIV. You know, Magic was able to overcome his situation, you know, due to his already celebrity status and his fame and, you know, his Hall of Fame basketball career. But a lot of people don't have that opportunity. With that being said, Magic was able to have to come out and deal with that decision. I mean, those circumstances, and he was able to, I guess, overcome. So he was, I guess, more understanding of his son having to come out and deal with some of the same criticism that he would face from society and people, the media, you know, hence therefore. But being a man and having a son, I don't have any kids of my own, so I really don't know, you know, how that feels as a man hearing his son tell him that he's a homosexual or he's gay. But just being a man, I would think that had to hurt in some kind of, you know, aspect or whatever. Yeah, I know all he imagined when he first had his first son was that he was going to be a basketball player just like him. So, you know, him being gay, not saying he couldn't have still been that basketball player, but from watching that video that I seen, I don't think he ever had the basketball player's mannerism. It was more of a, you know, flamboyant.
Go ahead, B. What you
say? I'm listening to you.
Now, check this out. Now, if you go to the NFL Network, go to NFLnetwork.com, folks. And then when you look at, because, you know, they're speaking on how some guys are going to also come out in the NFL that are gay. And that's been a move. But now when you go to the NFL Network and you look at the cutout picture they got with the guy hugging Roger Goodell, look at where his hand is at while he's in the process of hugging Roger Goodell. I don't know if people looked at that. I looked at it twice when I was doing the research on the Magic Johnson story. I don't know if they're sending a message and saying, okay, hey, it is what it is. But people, go look at that story. Go look at that picture. It's on NFLnetwork.com, and you will see it. You will see it, and you give your opinion on Facebook, on my Facebook, that's GetSensational.com, on what you think about that picture. Hey, Bibbs, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Michael Vick is finding a home in Chip Kelly's offense. He's finding a home now in that offense. Now, does this offense remind him of how he became who he is at V-Tech? Does it remind him of how he did at V-Tech?
You know what? When I first, the story first broke to me that Chip Kelly was going to take the job at Philly, the first thing I said was, that's going to be kind of, if he brings the offense that he runs at, you know, he ran at Oregon, any form of it to the NFL and running with Michael Vick is the perfect fit
for that offense.
Solid quarterback that he uses within that system. And I said, this could possibly get Michael Vick back on track as far as his NFL career. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Nick Foles, the other quarterback, has the slightest shot of running Chip Kelly's offense unless he, you know, totally goes in a totally opposite direction. But I really think that Michael Vick can win that spot again, and he might do some damage within that offense with his legs. And on top of that, he can throw the ball, you know. So, and that's just speed, speed, speed. And they already, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles already have one of the fastest offenses as far as receivers on the outside, running back and quarterback in the NFL. So that is going to be
correct.
A deadly combination.
Now, how do you stop Michael Vick in the read option? And let me tell you what, this is what Michael Vick stated about Chip Kelly's offense. It's great. It's awesome, Vick said, of Kelly's offense attack. It's like nothing I've ever seen before as an offense. We do a lot of things that just put the ball into guys' hands and let them make plays. Now, Mike Vick, when he's saying, that's pretty strong when he says, like nothing ever nothing like he's ever seen before. When you get a guy like Michael Vick, who's seen a lot of play at Virginia Tech and in Atlanta when he first got in there, now this guy is saying that, does this give Michael Vick that renewed sense of purpose? And it helps him say, okay, hey, this is my offense. I got Dennis Dixon and I got Nick Foles that I got to compete against. Now, they're in camp right now, and both the Nick Foles and Dennis Dixon each took reps with the starting unit with the Eagles on Tuesday. So now, are we just giving them some reps? And Chip Kelly, know if I want this offense to go, I got to go with Michael Vick. Do you think he has that in the back of his mind?
I wouldn't say he thinks he has to go with Michael Vick, but if any smart coach, if he's a smart coach, I would think that Mike Vick might be his best asset as far as playing that position within that offense. Now Dennis Dixon did play for Chip Kelly in Oregon a few years back. I think he ended up playing his ACL within his senior year or something. But he knows the offense, but he's not the athlete that Michael Vick is.
Exactly.
He doesn't have the NFL credentials that Michael Vick has. And he hasn't led an NFL team to the playoff ever in his career. So with that being said, I just feel like Michael Vick is, he has the open track to win that position. Now it's basically saying it's his to lose. If he does lose it, I think it'll be more a financial decision than on the field decision.
Correct. That's what when I saw this, and you got to figure people. Dennis Dixon is 28 years old also. And when he was at Oregon, Chip Kelly was the offensive coordinator at that time. Peyton Manning, he's complaining. He's saying that, hey, he wants the Broncos offense to play fast in 2013. He want a fast season out of them. Can you get fast play offense out of Peyton Manning, though? Can you get that?
Yeah, I definitely think you can. I've seen Peyton Manning work in a two-minute offense before, and his two-minute offensive drill is by far one of the best. Besides him and Tom Brady, probably have the two best, two mini drills I've seen within my time watching NFL football. And yeah, I think you can run. You might not get the pace of a Chip Kelly type pace because Peyton is not that fast of a person. But if you can get the ball into players' hands, and get them manageable downs, you can continue to get a few more plays within, a game, with the Peyton Manning running his offense the way he wants it to run. Why not?
But do you got to put him in the shotgun, or do you got to put him on the center? Can Peyton run a fast-paced offense under center? Because he got to drop back.
I would say he has to do a combination. With the way Peyton Manning runs, comes to the line of scrimmage and check coverage. Check high routes and protections and different things. I wouldn't be surprised if he did get down to the line. He would have plays where he would run from under the center, or he would step back in the shotgun. I think they'll use a combination of the both. I think maybe the shotgun will be more because, Peyton is less mobile than, a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's very much a common quarterback. He likes to put the ball in certain spots at certain times. So I think it could work for me. The shotgun more, but I wouldn't, be opposed to seeing him under center also.
But now when you talk about fast pace and you talk about a defensive coordinator game planning for Peyton Manning versus game planning fast pace for Michael Vick. Do you see a defensive coordinator going in with the same game plan? No, because Peyton Manning can't run, and you know that. So you got to keep everything in front of him versus a Michael Vick. You got more things that's on the line, because at any point he can tuck it and take off and get you some yards. So how does that help? How does that help that fast pace? Unless he's just going to release
At the same time, I think Peyton Manning. With Michael Vick situation, it'd be more like you said a read option, with
Correct.
The quarterback. I'm not saying that Peyton can't read option, but it wouldn't be an option after that. It wouldn't be an option for run
Correct.
For a quarterback to run. It'd be more of an option to give it or quick slant it to somebody on the outside or, dump it off to somebody else. But it wouldn't be an option for Peyton to necessarily run. If he was more of a read, it'd be more of a read, quick pass out to somebody in the flats maybe, or, somebody coming across the middle or tight end. That it's a difference in what they would be doing as far as the quarterback position is concerned. But like I said, Peyton Manning is one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL, and I think that he could possibly, He can run a faster paced offense. Age might catch up to him. You know, he's a little older, four neck surgeries, you know, in the game. So, you know, that might could catch up to him. But I don't think, you know, him not being able to run could slow him down. They wouldn't probably get as fast or as much production out of the run game in particular in Denver as I was saying in Philly with Michael Vick running the read option. But
let me ask y'all a question.
Go ahead.
I've seen offenses come into the NFL and the college game, and then I've seen them quickly go because defensive coordination has spent a year trying to figure out how to stop it. Do you look at this read option and this new offense, the pistol and all this? Do you think about that? There's some great D coordinators in the NFL, and that there's going to be some D coordinators that's going to completely stop it, just like. One time the wishbone was a great offense, and it, you can't even run the wishbone in college anymore. Are we looking to see somebody do something like that, some big shutdown on this offense?
I mean, you can see it. It's going to come to that, but I think, you know, if you look at the run and shoot when it took place in the NFL in Houston, they ran that run and shoot for about 5 to 6 years at least before somebody came on and really understood how to stop it. And that's why if you notice – a lot of NFL guys are going to Alabama to sit down with Nick Saban and ask him, how do you defend this type of offense? And when I heard that, I'm saying, okay, do you go to Alabama and get that? Why? Do the fact you think that he has such a great game plan for it? No, I think Alabama just have superior talent to stop. Yeah, I don't think he has such a great scheme, and not to take anything from Nick Saban because he is a great coach, but I think he has superior defensive linemen, and that's in that offense you got to figure Nick Saban hates it because he can't sub his defensive linemen in. He hates that fast-paced offense, and I think that's why Texas Tech was so successful because they didn't give him that opportunity to sub guys in and out, and we know what happened with that once Texas Tech beat him. My man became the Heisman Trophy winner because now you have upset the big dog. And so in that instance, you know, it changed his life. But now let's switch gears also. Bibbs, you know, the draft is getting ready to come up.
Right.
Darrell Revis is still a New York Jet. Do you think he remains a New York Jet throughout the draft?
I'm not sure. He could possibly play a role in the draft, you know, with some draft picks. It might be a draft day trade, possibly. I mean, the only team I've really heard that's interested in him as far as, you know, acquiring him with picks or whatever is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, I mean, again, that's a tough trade, I believe, because he's coming off an injury. That's why he hasn't been traded as of yet, but I still think he could possibly go off the board. He could be gone by draft day. But if not by draft day, he might not get traded this year.
But now, if he do not get traded this year and all of a sudden he have a heck of a season coming back, because they say he is ahead of schedule with his rehab on his torn ACL. Now, if he comes back and have a heck of a season, now do the Jets – do it really puts the Jets in a bad situation? Because now, guess what? I'm back. Now you guys going to have to pay me.
Got to.
Now you guys got to. You got to pay me my money. And I'm not going to even play with you. And then you got to figure, like I said, you know, he has he had $3 million in bonus money tied into participation in voluntary workouts. So he's been there. I'm quite sure he wants to get his $3 million. So it's going to be interesting to see. If they don't trade him on draft day, I think he stays with the New York Jets. I think he becomes a New York Jet and he stays with them.
Tony, they got to get rid of him. I'm going to tell you why.
Go ahead.
It's just like if you're in a home where the house has decided that they don't want you anymore and you stay in that house a year, I don't care how productive you are for the house, it's not going to be the same. And that's the
correct
same situation. He is a great player, but that team at some point said, "I don't want you. I want to do something different." He would never feel the same anymore.
But now, do they want Revis? they want Revis Island, and they don't want Darrell Revis because they don't like how Darrell Revis has handled himself over the last couple of years when it comes to money. Or do they want that shutdown corner? I don't care. It's tough to find those kind of guys like a Darrell Revis, Deion Sanders, Al Harris, these kind of guys. It's tough to find those guys. You can't find them. So if I get
they've messed it up.
But then you look at the Jets.
Howard in Orlando. It's almost the same situation. Even though Dwight was the one that wanted to leave, once Dwight said he wanted to leave, it was never going to work anymore.
But I think these guys understand the business part of that. That, hey, you know, that's business talking, us going back and forth. That's negotiation. You don't think that
I'm not gonna be the same. Plays into it? It'll never be the same. He would never be the same ball player that he was a few years ago, because when he played for the Jets a few years ago, he fought for the Jets and he loved the Jets. And he played for that team. He played for that organization.
Correct.
For you to start shopping me.
Correct.
I'm not in love with that organization like I used to be.
But he's in love with a paycheck, though. That's the thing.
But he's not going to get that kind of money anywhere because he's coming off a knee injury. I think he would rather stay there and prove himself to come back, and then next year. Hey, I'm going to go to the table. Now I'm going to push it to the point. Now either you're going to trade me or you're going to pay me my money. If I leave now, that gives another team negotiating power. Hey, we don't know how you're going to come back from this injury. And it's going to drive the cost of him down because there were so many corners on the market. There were so many corners on the market. So it drove the market for defensive backs. It drove it down. And his market value at this point is down because of a knee injury. And there were so many corners on the board. And a lot of those corners have gone. Only people that are still out there are the Charles Woodson, the guys that are older, and Darrell Revis. You know, we can't say he's a young buck anymore. But let me tell you guys, we got 3 minutes before my engineer is telling me we got 3 minutes. Let's get into, I don't know if you guys seen the Clay Matthews signing his extension. He signed an extension today that was announced by the team. The numbers are looking like they're $65 million in new money. You know, normally when we say extension, they're just adding on some more value. But this is new money, including, as they say, a $31 million guarantee. But now sources also told ESPN.com, Darryl Rovell, that Matthews will receive. Now, these are the numbers that blows my mind. He will receive $22 million by the end of the 2013 season and another $27 million the next 12 months. That's some heck of a money.
Whoa.
That is some mucho dinero. Mucho dinero, folks. Mucho dinero.
Used to call Ray Lewis and tell Ray Lewis, thank you for showing how important a leader is to the team. Because Clay Matthews has been a very big leader for Green Bay.
Yeah, he's been a
leader on that team.
And that he has. Colorado, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to chime in on that topic. Is that the kind of money you think that Clay Matthews on? And Bills, I'm going to give you 30 seconds on it. 30 seconds. Give me your opinions. Conrad, you go first.
He's worth it. He's a leader. He plays hard. He plays hurt. He's worth it. He will make you take you to the Super Bowl. And if you don't believe that, you see Ray Lewis. He wasn't even the same athlete he was when he took this team to the Super Bowl because of the type of leader he was.
Bibbs, give me your opinion on it, and I'm going to chime in on it because you got to understand they still got to pay Aaron Rodgers. Bibbs, give me your opinion on that. Do you think Clay Matthews is worth $65 million?
Yeah, I believe he's worth $65 million. He's one of those athletes that stands out amongst his peers on the football field. He did have a sort of down season a couple of years ago, but he did show up this last season. And not to mention, he has a Super Bowl ring on that defense, you know, and that defense would not be the same without him. So, of course, yeah, he's worth $65 million. But you got to pay Aaron, though, like you said. If you don't get Aaron under contract, then no Green Bay Packers.
Got to pay Aaron Rodgers. Guys, hey, it's been a great show. Guys, we were able to hit on such life topics and sports because I feel sports and life go hand in hand because sports is what moves America to recover from tragedies like the bombing in Boston and the lack of Congress passing the background checks for the gun law. That failed in Washington. But I'm going to tell you, people, we must change the way we think in order to change the way the world is going to go. Thank you for chiming in here on the Tony Sands Show. Bibbs, Conrad, we'll hit you up next week here on the Tony Sands Show as we continue to talk life in sports here on the Tony Sands Show. Thank you.
It was already written, I would rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.